Friends, now we will start with the factoring and forfeiting. Hope you are aware of these two terms which are used in the international market. The companies which are in the export of goods and services are engaged likely to be when there is a heavy demand for the funds and bank lines are also used to the limited extent under the circumstances. They have to rely on some external parties, external financing agencies. So those agencies are nothing but the factors and forfeiters. So even though terms are little bit unknown to you, I will try to explain, and my endeavor to know you better what exactly the difference between factoring and forfeiting. As far as my presentation flow is concerned, I will be discussing about the methodology or manner in which the factors and forfeiters are working, major terms and conditions, how these functions in India, as well as there are various advantages and disadvantages are there in the factoring and forfeiting, which we are going to discuss in this chapter, considering the following points. For the sake of convenience, I have divided this presentation flow in two parts. One part A will be a factoring, another part will be the forfeiting. In for factoring part, we will be seeing what is forfeiting, then factoring in India, characteristic features, as well as different type of factoring, then factoring companies in India, and NBFC factoring, which one is the recent introduction. And in forfeiting, we will understand the meaning, terms and conditions, as well as modus operandi of the forfeiting, including forfeiting cost, advantages and disadvantages of forfeiting, as well as forfeiting in India. And finally, we will compare the factoring and forfeiting to understand the difference between these two. With this, I am trying to introduce you about these factors and forfeiters. As I said earlier, the financing need by the exporters to procure the good, to manufacture the goods and to export the goods requires large amount of finance. Many times the exporter comes into situation that he is heavily exporting, but the bank lines sanctioned by the bank are many times insufficient for him. Under the situation, he taps the market and he get finance from other financial institution, including the factors and the forfeiters. The financing methods are factoring and forfeiting are more viable action are options as far as exporters are concerned. Both the schemes provides an immediate cash to the exporters that virtually wipes out the exporter's credit period, which is extended to the importer. This credit period extends from the time of shipment of the goods to the till the receipt of the payment. The credit period can be extended from couple of months to several years in case of the deferred payment contract or project exports, and hits the liquidity of many export business. Forfeiting and factoring are similar in that a third agency takes over the account and trade receivable of the exporter at certain discounts. The exporter in turn receives the immediate reimbursement of the receivable less the discount due to the factoring or forfeiting agencies. However, the conditions stipulation governing the factoring and forfeiting are having little bit difference, not major difference, but little difference is there. So that also we'll see. Let us start with the factoring. First, try to understand what is factoring means. The Factoring Act came into existence in 2011 and it defines the factoring business as the business of acquisition of receivables of assignor by accepting assignment of such a receivable or financing, whether by way of making loans or advances or any other manner against the security of interest over any receivable. That means once the goods are exported, the documents are handed over to one third agencies. They will discount it and make the payment to your account, that is exporter's account. And finally, they claim it from the overseas buyer, who ultimately makes the payment to the factors. And once it is received, any margin amount held will be released by the factors. However, the credit facilities provided by the banks in ordinary course of the business against the security of receivable and the activity undertaken as a commission agent or otherwise for the sale of agriculture commodities or produce, the goods or any kind of whatsoever related activities are expressly excluded from the definition of factoring business. So, you cannot avail the factoring for the agriculture commodities. How the factoring in India is happening? Factoring is a conversion of credit sales into cash. In factoring, financial institution, that is a factor, buys the account receivable of a company of particular export shipment and pays up to 80%, sometimes 90% of the invoice value immediately as per the agreement to the exporter. Factoring company pays the remaining amount, maybe 20% or 10%, to the client when the customer pays the debt. Here, customer means the overseas buyer. Collection of the debt from the customer is done either by way of factors or the client, depending upon the type of factoring. The account receivable in the factoring can either be for a product of services. For example, factoring against the goods purchased, factoring in construction services, in the government purchased, factoring in construction services, in government contract, it is assured that the government body can pay back the debt in stipulated period of factoring, and hence the contractor can submit the invoice to get the cash instantaneously, factoring against the medical insurance, etc. Let us see how the factoring is done against an invoice for the goods purchased. Here is a chart which I am trying to explain you. The credit sale of the goods between the customer, here customer means the buyer and here client means exporter. The client, when this client gives a credit sales of the goods, or maybe within 90 days or within 120 days, this customer will pay against the supply of the goods. In that situation, for 90 days he has to wait till this customer pays to him, but he does not have the time to wait till this customer pays. So, what he does, he submits the invoice copy to the factors. Factors what does? Factors payment up to 80% initially he makes to the client and keep the 20% margin. Thereafter what happens, this factor directly claim it from the customer by submitting the invoice and other documents to him, and he pays the amount in recourse type customer pay through the client, and once the money is received here, the payment balance amount, that is 20%, will also be paid here. The invoice which is raised on them is again 100% payment is received by the gentleman. This is how exactly the factoring works. What are the characteristic features of the factoring? Usually the period for factoring is 90 days to 150 days. Some factoring companies allow even more than 150 days to maybe 180 days too. Factoring is considered to be a costly source of the finance as compared to the other sources of the short term borrowing, that is from the banks. Factoring receivable is an ideal financial solution for the new and emerging firms without strong financial. Weak financials, then they have to rely on the factors. This is because the creditworthiness of evaluated based on the financial strength of the customer, that is debtor. Hence, these companies can leverage on the financial strength of the customers. Bad debts will not be considered for factoring. Credit rating is not mandatory, but the factors companies usually carry out the credit risk analysis of the exporter before entering into the agreement. Factoring is a method of off-balance sheet financing. Cost of factoring is equal to financing cost plus operating cost. Factoring cost vary according to the transaction size and the financial strength of the customer, etc. The cost of factoring varies from 1.5% to 3% per month depending upon the financial strength of the clients who are the customers. For delayed payment beyond the approved credit period, penal charges of 1 to 2% may be levied per month over and above the normal cost of the charges, which varies from 1% to 2% afterwards. Different types of factoring. Some of the major factoring types are disclosed and undisclosed factoring, recourse and non-recourse factoring. As a single factoring company may not offer all these services. Let us understand what is disclosed factoring. Disclosed factoring means the client customers are notified of the factoring agreement and disclosed. The type can either be recourse or non-recourse basis. Whereas undisclosed factoring, the client's customer are not notified of the factoring agreement arrangements. Sale ledgers administers the administration and the collection of the debt are undertaken by client himself. Client has to pay the amount to the factors irrespective of whether the customer has paid or not. But in disclosed type of factoring, there may be or may not be, it may not be responsible for collection of the debt depending upon whether it is recourse or it is non-recourse. Recourse factoring. In recourse factoring, client undertakes to collect the debt from the customer. If the customer don't pay the amount on maturity, the factors will recover the amount from the client. This is the most common type of factoring, which I have explained in the chart which we have discussed. Recourse factoring is offered at a lower interest rate since the risk by factors is very low. Balance amount is paid to the client when the customer pays to the factors. Non-recourse factoring is nothing but factor undertakes to collect the debt from the customer and the before amount is paid to the client at the end of the credit period or when the customer pays the factors, whichever comes first. The advantage of non-recourse factoring is that the continuous factoring will eliminate the need for the credit and collection departments in the organization. There are few active companies, factoring companies in India. These are prominently Canbank Factors Limited, which is promoted by Canara Bank. SBI Global is promoted by the State Bank of India. Hong Kong and Shanghai Banking Corporation Limited is promoted by HSBC. IFCI Factors Limited is promoted by IFCI. Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India, Government of India Entrepreneur. Citibank in India is an extended arm of the Citibank. Then SIDBI, that is Small Industrial Development Bank, Government Undertaking. Standard Chartered Bank. Then Yes Bank Limited. India Factoring and Finance Solutions Private Limited are some of the major factoring companies which are functioning in India. A new trend has developed that Reserve Bank of India has given permission to non-banking financial companies also to act as a factors. It is called as NBFC factoring. So this NBFC factoring, how it works? Specific guidelines are issued by the Reserve Bank of India for NBFC factoring. These guidelines also we are discussing concerning the concern notification to that effect. So let us understand first what is an NBFC factoring. NBFC factor means non-banking financial company fulfilling the principal business criteria, that is whose financial assets in the factoring business constitute at least 75% of the total assets and the income derived from the factoring business is not less than 75% of its gross income, has net owned fund is rupees 5 crores and has been granted a certificate of registration by Reserve Bank of India under Section 3 of Factoring Regulation Act 2011. Entry point norm for the NBFC. How new NBFC can enter into the factoring business? Every company registered under the Section 3 of Companies Act 1956 and seeking registration as a NBFC factor shall have minimum net owned funds of rupees 5 crores. And existing companies which are seeking registration as an NBFC factors but not fulfilling the net owner of funds, that is NOF criteria of 5 crores, may approach to the bank, that is the Reserve Bank of India, from time to comply with the requirement. What would happen with the existing companies registered with RBI as NBFCs and conducting the factoring business that constitute less than 75% of the total assets income? Such a company shall have to submit to RBI a letter of its intention either to become factor or unwind the business totally, and roadmap to this effect has to be submitted to RBI. The company would then be granted COR as NBFC factors only after it complies with the twin criteria of the financing assets and thereafter income also. If the company does not comply within a period stipulated by Reserve Bank of India, then it would have to unwind the factoring business. There is no other options for that. Now let us understand whether it is compulsory for all entities to get the registration with the RBI to conduct the factoring business. Answer is yes. An entity which is not registered with the bank may not conduct the business of factoring unless its entity mentioned in Section 5 of the Act, that is bank or any corporation established under the Act of the Parliament and the state legislature or the government company as defined under Section 617 of the Companies Act 1956. Now suppose if a company does not fulfill the principal business criteria for the factoring business and has to intention of getting itself into registered as a factor with the bank, can it be continued to do the factoring activity with its group entities also? The answer is no, because as per Section 3 of the Factoring Act 2011, no factor can commence or carry on any factoring business without obtaining certificate of registration, that is COR, from the Reserve Bank of India, and B, fulfilling the principal business criteria. Now, the question comes in the mind, can NBFC factors undertake the import and export factoring? Yes, they are permitted to do so. However, such NBFC factors will have to obtain the necessary authorization from the Foreign Exchange Department of Reserve Bank of India under Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999 as amended, and adhere to the FEMA regulation, that is Foreign Exchange Management Act regulation in this regard. Another question is it necessary for NBFC factors to register every factoring transaction with the central registry? Under Section 19 of the Factoring Act 2011, every factor is under obligation to file the particulars of each and every deal or transaction of assignment of the receivable in favor of them with a central registry to be set up under Section 20 of the Securities and Reconstruction of the Financial Assets and Enforcement Security Interest Act, that is SARFAESI Act, within the period of 30 days from the date of such an assignment or from the date of establishment of such a registry, as the case may be. Do NBFC factors have to comply with a separate set of prudential regulations? There are no separate prudential regulation as such for the NBFC factors. The provision of NBFC, that is non-banking financial corporation, NBFCs, accepting or holding companies, prudential norms, Reserve Bank of India Direction 2007, and companies prudential norms, as the case may be, and applicable to the loan company, shall be applied to the NBFC factors also. Are there any separate set of returns that the NBFC factors has to submit? The submission of the returns to the Reserve Bank of India will be specified presently in case of registered NBFCs. This is all about the factoring. Now we will move towards the forfeiting. We understood what is factoring is. Now let us understand what is a forfeiting is. Forfeiting is a French word, which means it gives one's right to others, complete right. Thus, in the forfeiting, the exporter hands over the entire export bill with the forfeiter and obtains the payment. The exporter has given up his right on the importer, which is now taken by the forfeiter. Complete set of document he is giving, not only invoice. By doing so, the exporter is benefited as he gets immediate finance for his exports. The risk of his export is now borne by the forfeiter. In case if the importer fails to pay, the recourse cannot be made on the exporter. So, this is on forfeiting is on non-recourse basis. The forfeiting is a sale by an exporter of the export trade and receivable, usually bank guaranteed, without recourse to the exporter. Such a receivable includes letter of credit with or without bill of exchange, promissory note with aval, bill of exchange with AVL, and bank guarantee payable to an exporter in one country from importers to another country. Forfaiting is a financing concept, and that has been used across the world since 1960. The word forfeit means forego one's right to something. Because entire set of the document is given to somebody against which money is already received. So he has given up his right to claim it to whom the goods are sent. In the context of the export finance, exporter forgives his right to receive the payment from the importer at latter date and surrenders the right to collect the repayment to the third party or agency, which is known as forfeiter. Instead, the exporter receives an immediate reimbursement of his payment less certain discount from the forfeiter. Normally, these payments are due to the latter date, and the forcing of the exporters to bear the cost of the intervening period as well as being exposed to the risk of non-payment or exchange rates, not non-payment but only risk exchange rates which fluctuates and the political situation, etc. These are risks which expose to a small or medium exporters to significant erosion of the profit. With forfeiting finance, the exporter passes on his debt as well as his attendant risk to the forfeiting agencies. This form of financing is referred as without recourse financing. In case the debt cannot be recovered, there is no risk for the exporter to pay to the forfeiter. Forfeiting is the medium term financing option, typically for 3 to 7 years time frame. Major terms and conditions for the forfeiting. There is a discounting of amount to be received from the importer. Discounting is on a fixed rate. Date is in the form of bill of exchange or promissory note guaranteed by the bank. Such a financing is without recourse to the seller, and 100% of the amount receivable can be financed in this manner. How it works, how the forfeiting works? The parties or the agencies which are involved in the forfeiting includes the exporter, the importers, a forfeiting agency, and the bank that stands as a guarantee for the bill of exchange or promissory note, and the Exim Bank in India, which acts as a forfeiting agency between the Indian exporter and the forfeiting agency. So there are 5 parties. Typically, the exporter negotiates the terms like price, payment of currency, credit period, and like with other overseas buyer, the exporter then approaches to the Exim Bank. The Exim Bank obtains a tentative forfeiting quotation from the forfeiting agency. Armed with its quote, and the exporter can now finalize the contract with the buyer. Once the contract with the buyer is complete, the exporter should ensure that most of the forfeiting charges are passed down to the buyer only. Once these terms and conditions are settled with the buyer by the exporter, a final forfeiting quote is obtained by the Exim Bank in consultation with the forfeiting agency. If this quote is acceptable to the exporter signs the contract with the buyer as well as a separate one with the forfeiting agencies. Thereafter, real business starts. Once shipment of the goods has taken place, the exporter obtains availed the guaranteed bill of exchange from the importer or availed promissory note. These bills are exchanged to the promissory note, are endorsed by the exporter and are routed the forfeiting agency through the Exim Bank. The forfeiting agency will then remit the payment due to the exporter to an account of the exporter's bank in the country where the forfeiting agency is based. This bank then transfer the amount to the exporters in India, and then exporter will be provided with the certificate of foreign inward remittance as a proof. When the promissory note bill of exchange reach the maturity, the forfeiting agency collects the payment from the aval, and thereafter the transaction gets closed. This also involves the cost. Forfeiting also involves the cost. So, what is the cost of forfeiting? In a forfeiting transaction, the exporter should bear some cost. Exporter has to bear certain cost, which consists of commitment fee has to be paid to the forfeiter for the period of the time from when the commitment is entered into and up to the date of discounting or the date of expiry of the contract. Second one is a commitment fee that is typically ranges between 0.05 to 1.5%. Then the second is the actual discounting fee, which is interest on the receivable amount for the entire period of the credit, as well as the premium for the various risks involved. This fee is based on the prevailing market interest rate, including LIBOR, that is London Interbank Offered Rate. These are the two main costs involved. In addition, there could be the documentation cost in case of the lot of paperwork, penalties or handling charges are included. Then the Exim Bank, which acts as a facilitator, also charges its service charge or service fee, which can also be paid in Indian rupees by the exporter. This fee is based on the prevailing market interest rate, including the LIBOR, and these are the two main costs which are involved in addition to the documentation cost and in case of the lot of paperwork, penalties, handling charges, etc. That is what we have seen. The Exim Bank, which acts as a facilitator, also charges these fees. That is also, again, I am repeating because these are some additional costs. That is why I am repeating it again. As per RBI regulation, it is mandatory that discount fee and any documentation fee charged by the forfeiter should be passed down to the overseas buyer. That means exporter need not pay. It will be collected along with the reimbursement from the overseas buyer. During the shipping, it is not necessary that any of the forfeiting fees to be shown separately. They can be included in FOB value, that is free on board, indicated in the invoice. The export contract can be executed in any of the major convertible currencies of the world in order to eligible for the forfeiting. There are certain advantages and disadvantages of forfeiting. Let us understand first what are the advantages of forfeiting. It provides an immediate funds to the exporter, who is saved from the risk of defaulting importer. It is an earning to the commercial bank, who by taking the bills highly valued currencies can again on appreciation of the currencies. The forfeiter can also discount these bills in foreign currency in the foreign market to meet more demand of the exporter. There is a very little risk of the forfeiter, as both importer bank and the exporter banks are involved. Letter of credit plays a major role for the forfeiter. Moreover, they enters into the agreement with the exporter, on the terms and conditions which are covered in the risk by a separate charges. As a forfeiting provides 100% finance to the exporter against his exports, he can concentrate on other export orders. After the advantages, it is a turn of disadvantages. Yes, there are certain disadvantages in the forfeiting also. Forfeiting is not available on the deferred payment terms, especially while exporting the capital goods for which the payment will be made on the deferred payment basis by the importer. That is one of the disadvantages. There is also discrimination between the Western countries and the countries in the southern hemisphere, which are mostly underdeveloped, like South Asia, South Africa and Latin America. There is no international credit agency which can guarantee the forfeiting companies which affects the long term forfeiting, and only selected currencies are taken for the forfeiting as they alone enjoy the international liquidity. How forfeiting is happening in India? For a long time, forfeiting was unknown to India. Export Credit Guarantee, that is ECGC, was guaranteeing the commercial banks against their export finance. However, within the setting up of the Export Import Bank since 1994, the forfeiting is available on liberalized basis, as it intervened intermediary between the forfeiting agency and the exporter. The Exim Bank undertakes the forfeiting for a minimum value of rupees 5 lakhs. For this purpose, the exporter has to execute a special pronote in favor of Exim Bank. The exporter will first enter into an agreement with the importer as per the quotation given by him to the Exim Bank. Thereafter, the Exim Bank on its part gets the quotation from the forfeiting agency abroad, and thus the entire forfeiting process is completed by the exporter agreeing to terms and conditions which are quoted by the Exim Bank and signing the pronote. Forfeiting business in India will pick up only when there is a trading of foreign bills in international market or international currencies in India, for which the value of the domestic currency has to be strengthened. This would be possible only with the increase in exports. At the present, India's share stands at 1.7% only as compared to the world's export. Perhaps this will bring a push to the forfeiting market. Difference between the factoring and forfeiting. Considering the several points, factoring and forfeiting differs with each other or similarity with each other. Point of difference, considering extent of finance, up to what extent finance can be given. So, factoring gives 75% to 80% finance, whereas forfeiting gives full 100% finance. If you consider the credit worthiness, factors does the credit rating in case of non-recourse factoring transaction, and the forfeiting bank relies on the credibility of availing bank. Recourse, with or without recourse, factoring can happen, and forfeiting is always without recourse. Risk, exporter bears some risk in case of factoring, whereas exporter bears no risk in case of forfeiting. What about the sale administration? Sales administration is done by the factoring, whereas sales administration is not required to be done by forfeiting company. The terms here, factoring is always a short term and forfeiting is always a medium term. And with this factoring and forfeiting chapter, we have completed. Hope you understood it. Thank you very much.